There's one question that if someone asks, I typically hesitate. And that the question is basically, hey, what do you think? You think I can do such and such on the Sabbath day? And I usually hesitate because it usually involves like a judgment, like, let's take a look at that and think about that. And there's no manual. There's no manual of like, okay, let's look that up, in the United Church of God handbook and find out the answer. There's no manual on things that, quote unquote, you can't do on the Sabbath or can do on the Sabbath. The Pharisees made that mistake when they tried to get a list of things and, it got out of hand. But that being said, there are principles of Sabbath keeping. Principles of Sabbath keeping. And that is what we're going to explore today. So let's start with in Exodus chapter 20, if you can turn there. Exodus chapter 20. And we should really start with the foundation that the seventh day of the week is holy time. It is holy time. It's special time. In Exodus 20 and verse 8, we have the statement from God, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I mean, that's just a very foundation to keep it holy. No other day is deemed to be holy except for the holy days. But in terms of a normal week, the seventh day, there's something special. And we have some information in verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days, get things done. And we'll go through some of that. Do your work. But as it says in verse 10, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You shall do no work. And it adds your son, your daughter, a manservant, maidservant, even your cattle or the stranger that is within your gates. Wow, so it's extended not just to you personally, but your family, and you might say those directly under your control, that, hey, it's a day of rest. It's a holy day of rest. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, if we think of another basic concept, we know God's law is based on love. So if we think about this, the Sabbath is a day to show love first towards God, right? Towards God and Jesus Christ, as well as, let's say, your neighbor. Basically everybody else. I mean, that's the foundation. That's the foundation. The specific commandment here is wherever you have responsibility to observe the day. To observe the day. Now, you don't have to turn there. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15, which is also where the Ten Commandments are listed, there's just a little bit of information on the Sabbath day. Because it says, remember you were a slave, Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So that's interesting. The Sabbath is directly tied, you might say, with God as Savior and Redeemer. You know, it's a wonderful things that we can look at that is part of the Holy Sabbath day. So, when we understand that Sabbath is Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, that's holy time. We're not to spend time at our, we have a regular job. That's a time that we're not working. But that extends to, if you are a homemaker, right? You do a lot of work during the week, but that's a time to refrain from that work. It's a day of rest. And could also add, like, if you're a student, right, you should refrain from work, right? Homework you have and other things. When I started keeping the Sabbath, I was in college, and it was like, all right, there's a big test on Monday, but I didn't hit the books, you know, until the Sabbath was over, right? Because that's involved. That was my work at that time as a student, Now, in addition, we're told in Leviticus chapter 23 that this day there is a holy convocation. That's an assembly together, and that's why we're here, right? That is why we're here. We assemble on the Sabbath day, and we hold services and worship God. But we have some pretty good information, some good principles. We turn to Isaiah 58. And take a look what's written. We start to get an idea of what's involved? What does it mean to rest? How to make it holy? And we'll take a look at that in Isaiah 58. Okay, verse 13. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and it could be really mean, and otherwise call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. There's a lot here. There's a lot here in this one verse. The first part is get your foot off it, like stop trampling on it. And the emphasis is from doing your pleasure on my day, your pleasure. And that would be one of the principles. And if we think about that, it's like, okay, the Sabbath is here. Am I doing whatever? Am I doing it just, you know, for fun? Or is it tied into the Holy Sabbath and day of rest and honoring God and one another? If we see the Sabbath as just a day, we might come to church, but it's just like, otherwise we do whatever we'd want on the other days. That doesn't make it the special day that it is. We can think of, if someone's going to say, you know what, boy, there's a great ball game. It's on the Sabbath, and I'm going to go to the ball game instead of going to church and keeping the Sabbath, really. Then we have to ask, is that your pleasure? And I think the answer is pretty obvious. You know, is that your pleasure? Are you really honoring God with that kind of a decision? Now, it doesn't mean that the Sabbath is to be dreary when you're like, oh no, the Sabbath is coming. Ah, you know, can't wait till that's over so I can get back to having fun, right? We have in verse 13, it's like, okay, take your foot off the Sabbath from doing your pleasure. But really, that last part is what you should be doing, is that calling the Sabbath a delight. The Sabbath a delight. And you think, well, is that a contradiction? Hold it, I can't have fun, but I'm supposed to call it a delight. But we have to understand the overall intent of the Sabbath. You know, when we honor God and we worship him, then we're going to do things that are a delight to us. It will be a delight to us. So some questions to ask and thinking about, you know, what is, you know, okay for Sabbath activity, we just have to ask ourselves, hey, is this my pleasure? Is this my pleasure? And the second question, is this honoring God? Is this honoring God? Again, we can have an example. I'm going to skip services. I'm going to spend all day at the amusement park. or the convention or watch March Madness is on, so I got to see every game. You know, with March Madness, you know, you lose and you're out. So I'm just going to do that on the Sabbath. That's, you know, I think we have to be honest and say that's seeking your pleasure. And thing is, you can do these things the other 6 days, right? The other 6 days go, you know, have your fun, your enjoyment, and things you'd like to do, and that's great. But it is special. It is holy time. It is holy time. We have to be driven to do God's ways. Now, I remember, I don't know, what one of our daughter's friends, they would set something up on a Friday evening. And then my daughters would say, well, I can't do that. It's Friday evening. And they say, and they, one fellow would say, oh, it's no fun Friday. It's no fun Friday for you. And that's a real cutting, that's a cutting statement. Like, oh, you're going to keep that dreary Sabbath, right? That's how they looked at it. That's how they looked at it. But we can't get into that mode of thinking. So we have to make judgments, you might say, about things to do on the Sabbath. And I can't say I made up a list, but some ideas, right? That if we think about it, we say, yeah, that's positive. You know, this is good. You know, one of the great things when I think of for the start of the Sabbath on Friday evening, and we've kept this as a tradition ever since we've been married, is that Friday dinner is a special dinner. It's like the best dinner of the week, and something great is going to be made. And that by itself would be like, man, I can't wait for the Sabbath, right? Because we're going to have whatever, right? And it's going to be the special time, and in the wintertime, maybe put some candles on. If you like, you know, a bottle of wine. And it's like, wow, is that a burden? Is that like, that's fantastic. That's honoring the day. It's appreciating the wonderful Sabbath that God has given to us, the rest. And that's one idea. It served us very well. It's like the best day of the week. And that's how it should be. Certainly, the Sabbath would be a time to catch up because many of us are very, very busy during the week. But hey, you're refraining from work, from your normal business activities. So it's a time to catch up on reading the Bible. I mean, that would be like a core thing to do on the Sabbath. And for those in the Bible reading plan, you've fallen behind. It's time to catch up. It's time to catch up. Obviously, it's a time to get in prayer. Again, the week can be very, very busy, depending where you are in life. And that's why the Sabbath is there. Let me take some time. Let me take some extra time. Pray, meditate, think about things in light of the Sabbath day. If you're married, you can use the time for meaningful conversation, right? You've got time. That's what it's all about, but it's good time to use. My wife and I, we always have, we call it our coffee clutch. You know, you have your coffee, there's no, you know, you're not running anywhere. And, you know, during the next hour or so, we solve the world's problems. Right? We solve all the church's problems and mankind's problems. And but it's good time. It's good time. And that's it. You have the time and you're putting it to good use. If you have children, again, you're busy doing your normal activity during the week, but the Sabbath, hey, extra time with the kids, right? To read to them, play with them, and you know, make a more deeper connection with them. What about enjoying uplifting music? Right, we see worship in the Bible. Music is definitely associated with worshiping God. That's a great time. Now music is a big topic, right? So you know, do you put on the Rolling Stones or you know? Green Day or whatever, Taylor Swift. I mean, you have to make decisions, right? You have to think about, you know, words. Are these words that the person singing, is that appropriate? Or, you know, should I listen to that another day? You might think about instrumental music. When there's no words, you don't have to worry about words. But it's a great time. I definitely use the time for music. And it should be a positive experience. Actually, just this morning, I like to listen to classical music. And I was going to play a CD. And the CD is their songs that the person's depressed. It's a Franz Schubert wrote it. But if the person is like depressed, almost suicidal, it's like, I'm not going to play that today. it's a very famous piece. But I found another Schubert. It was songs about nature and springtime and beautiful things. Like, I'm playing that because it's the Sabbath day, right? Want things uplifting and nature, something positive, connection to God and his creation. We certainly can use, you know, books and media. You have this thing called the internet, right? And there's podcasts. And there are wonderful topics. You just think of documentaries, nature, you know, God's beautiful creation, some wonderful things. There are even, like on YouTube, there are shows that debate, you know, not debate, but they are pro-creation versus evolution. And you have some really wonderful people out there. They're not in the Church of God, but they might promote intelligent design. And wow, they have some fantastic things that show how special planet Earth is, how special the universe is. And that's great. That's all positive. It's promoting God, his world, his creation. United Church of God, to listen to sermons, there are something like 40,000 sermons, right? 40,000 sermons. I think you could find a sermon that appeals to you that you could listen to at the website. Thousands of sermons that you can listen to about any topic. That's a great way to fill the time in. Certainly, United has all kinds of literature on the website, booklets, other things, other articles that you can read. And I'll throw out, what about, you know, taking you know, a stroll, we'll say, you know, maybe not a 3-hour hike, but, you know, go to a nice location that you can during the day, to a park or some nice location, enjoy nature, literally smell the roses. Usually during the week, if you're working and you're busy, like, life passes you by. But the Sabbath is like, hey, let me hear the birds sing, literally, right? And smell the fresh air. And thank God for, you know, the wonderful earth he's made. Thank God for making you to be able to appreciate these things. It's all positive. It's all promoting God's way of life, him as creator. And some other things, certainly visits with brethren, right? Getting together and being together with the church brethren. It's great to visit loved ones, right? Loved ones. And someone that maybe you know, in a nursing home or in a similar situation. These are just some of the things that you might consider. And obviously there's more things, but just some ideas that you could consider. Because there is time to fill, right? There is time to fill on the Sabbath day. What about here at services? You know, it's interesting in Isaiah, let's see, verse 13, the very last thing. Hey, you're not supposed to speak your own words. What does that mean? You're not to speak your own words. So tied into Sabbath is how we converse with one another. I'd say here at church and at home, there's someone at home. Should we spend hours on the Sabbath analyzing who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? Right? Would that be a profitable time to vote to that? Or something else that you just delve into has nothing to do with, you know, God's word or God's creation? On the other hand, can you spend 5 hours reading your Bible? If you can, congratulations, because I couldn't do that. that's like, for me, that would be an extreme. I couldn't do it. So there's, balance in all of this. But think about, we should think about how we converse with one another. Are we getting to know my brother and sister in Christ here at services in a positive way? Am I looking for ways to encourage others on the Sabbath? Certainly, discussing a recent sermon you might have heard or something you read in the Bible or question, whatever, that would be ideal. Core things that we have at this one day of the week to talk about and communicate. Verse 14. If you do the right things and honor the day, it says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Wow, the day, this is great. I like and love the Sabbath day. This is a great time. I need this time. And I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So there'll be blessings upon you for honoring the day that God has made holy. Now, really very important principles just in the one scripture here. Let's take a look at the New Testament, because Jesus had some things to say about the Sabbath. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. In verse 1, he entered again to the synagogue. A man had a withered hand. They watched him, whether that he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. In other words, you shouldn't heal on the Sabbath day. That's work. He said to the man which has the withered hand, stand forth. And he said to them, well, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. They held their peace. And then, of course, he did heal. Stretch forth your hand, as it says in verse 5, and it was restored. And it says in verse 5, they were outraged that he had helped someone, suffering that way. They went forth in verse 6, actually, and took counsel that they might destroy him. Because he, in their minds, he broke the Sabbath. That was the laws that they came up with. These were not scriptural laws. These are just some of the items that they sat down and, what you can do, what you can't do. And they even argued among themselves. It was interesting. The Pharisees said, it's okay to pull your animal out of a ditch on the Sabbath, right? That's okay. The Essenes, which were another group, they said, no, that's work. If an animal falls in a ditch, just let it die. You can pull a person out of the ditch, but don't pull an animal out of the ditch. And that was their conclusion. So even the Essenes and Pharisees argued about what to do or not to do on the Sabbath. And certainly they accused Jesus of being a Sabbath breaker. Of course, Jesus never said, don't keep the Sabbath. Never said that. He really was bringing reform to the Sabbath, the way it was kept, because the Pharisees and others had really made it truly a burden with their additional things that they came up with. The Sabbath is not just to do nothing. It is to do good. It is to do good. So we have to ask questions to ourselves. Again, there's no, a do and don't list, but questions to ask ourselves is that, does this activity, whatever activity that is, does it help me glorify God? Does it help my family in a right way? Does it help others to glorify God? Is it something that is definitely keeping the day holy, keeping the day special? And if we ask these questions prayerfully with all the principles You know, you're going to find a good way to observe the Sabbath. Let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 20. The people answered and said, you have a devil. Who goes about to kill you? Jesus answered and said, I have done one work and you marvel. Moses therefore gave you to circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day, you circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, then the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? What was Jesus saying? He's like, listen, you'll perform circumcision on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, Jesus didn't condemn that. He was just pointing out that you're doing that because at that time that was part of the old covenant, right? That the males had to be circumcised. And if your baby, you know, 8 days on the Sabbath day, well, you go ahead and you perform that work of circumcision. And Jesus is saying, like, that's fine, and you would do that, but you have a problem with me that I might be healing someone on the Sabbath. He's making them thinking about the issue. Verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And at the end of the day, we judge ourselves. How we observe the Sabbath. And we always have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves and objectively take a look at it and in terms of what we are doing or not doing. Now, I think I mentioned in Leviticus 23, we have the command to have a holy convocation. You know, God's like, hey, you will assemble together on the Sabbath day. So we come to services, right? We're here to first worship God, right, during our service time. And we're coming together because we're experiencing it together. And certainly we have our fellowship before and after services. It's all part of God's design, you know, as far as the church of God and assembly, people being together, worshiping together, fellowshipping with one another. We could actually ask, is there work? Do we do work here to get church set up? And the answer is yes, we do work. So is that wrong that we work on the Sabbath to get the hall set up? It's like, well, no, we're doing it so we can have an assembly and we can have the lectern set up and whatever, and the coffee is made and things like that. That's good work. You know, that's work that is for a greater good, so we can fellowship and be together and spend some time together. So there's things that you have to think about in light of the greater good. Like, again, that work is necessary so we can have a holy convocation, right? Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And we have this account in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23. It came to pass that Christ went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples went to pluck the ears of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, What are you doing? It's a Sabbath day. That's not lawful for you to do that. That, in their minds, was work. It wasn't resting. And Jesus said, well, haven't you read what David did? When he had need, he was hungered, and those that were with him. He went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but the priests. He gave also to them that were with him. And we don't have time to go into all the details, But David and his men, they weren't just, we need a bite to eat, so let's just crash and get the showbread. They were extreme. They were hungered. I mean, they really, really needed to eat. They needed that sustenance. And they asked permission from the priest, can we eat of this? And the priest gave permission. And Jesus is pointing out, like, that was a real need. That was, in a sense, an emergency need. And that is not breaking the Holy Sabbath. It's not doing that. And what the same thing with the disciples were doing, they needed sustenance at that time. And so, they just picked some, ate them just to keep the day going, right? And Jesus said, there's nothing wrong with that. You're fulfilling a need. Now, certainly a major part of Sabbath is that we do come together for worship services. And we actually have to think about, how do we approach that? How do we approach coming here today? God is inviting us, and we are here before his presence. And if you really think about it, when do we start to worship God? It's like, brethren, stand up and turn to page 2, right? We're starting to worship God at the start of song service, and God's Spirit is here. We need to think about that. I know I fall short of sometimes not focusing enough on song service, but we should be ready. We should be ready to go. We should think about the words that are being said. I think we fail to really think about the words in the hymnal. I would say I do that, especially songs I know by heart. Blessed and happy is the man, yeah, right? But we should think about the words. I mean, the words are very encouraging, words of praise. I love that last song that we sang. That's a great song, God of the Universe. That's wonderful. So we should be ready to go. And that's preparation. That's preparation. And we should have respect to God, to Christ at his right hand, and respect to the brethren when we carry it out in the right fashion. And, we're preparing physically, preparing spiritually. And, before sunset, we should know when sunset is, right? We should know that it's coming up, to prepare for that. In fact, the Bible talks about the preparation day is the sixth day. And I was very aware of this when I, back in my work days, it's been a year and a half since I retired, but I was always aware when sunset was, especially in the wintertime, because you can get caught, you're doing your thing, and wow, there could be an issue. So we need to think about those things in advance and prepare, because it's holy time. It's special. It's the fourth commandment. It's the fourth commandment. Another part, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. There's another aspect. And again, we go to the scriptures to get these principles. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 13. Because another way of keeping the Sabbath holy, it is a day of not buying and selling and doing our business. Not buying and selling, all that's involved with that, doing our business. We have the 6 days to do those personal financial needs. And in Nehemiah 13, verse 15, we have this. Nehemiah 13, 15. In those days, I was in Judah treading. In those days, saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves, lading donkeys, also wine, grapes, figs, all manner of burdens, which they brought to Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in a day where they sold all of these products. That was the problem. The other 6 days, go for it, right? Have the marketplace, buy and sell, get the things that you need. but not on the Sabbath day. It says there dwelt men of Tyre. They brought fish, all manner of ware. They sold on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said, what evil thing is this that you do? You're profaning the Sabbath. That is, we have that understanding from the scriptures. That's profaning the Sabbath, doing our business. Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it is not a time to do our banking, for instance, right? You could say, you know, our weekly grocery shopping and our household chores, right? That's a day, again, we have the other 6 days to take care of all those things. But we want to keep the day holy and have that rest. What about Exodus 35? Exodus 35. We have this statute given to Israel in Exodus 35. In fact, we could, Exodus 35, verse 2, 6 days work will be done. The seventh, there shall be a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does work therein shall be put to death. Kind of serious, right? And then we have this in verse 3, you should not kindle a fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And it's like, well, kindling a fire, like, wow, what does that mean? Well, we have to think about the times that they were in. There's no stove to turn on the stove, right? There's no matches to quickly light something else. I mean, they had to start from scratch, if you think about it, to kindle a fire, to get that fire going, and gather the wood, try to, you know, whatever they did to rub two sticks together, get the fire going. Or flint, and it, in preparation of food. And that's going to involve a long time to get that thing going, to tend to it. I know if you just have a simple fireplace, you just can't leave it there. You got to spend time. You got to keep going back. And you're putting all this effort and time into it. And for at that time in that culture, that was too much. That was, you know, you're spending too much time. You're laboring on the Sabbath. You're not doing the rest. And that, you know, that's why that statute was there. Of course, you know, we have stoves and things like that, you know, that are not involved in heavy labor and things like that. So that's a contrast. I found a really good explanation of this statute in the United Church of God commentary. So let me just read a little bit of this. And this is regarding chapter 35. Chapter 35 begins with instruction about the Sabbath. God said, you shall kindle no fire throughout the dwellings on your Sabbath day. A long-held Jewish interpretation is that it is wrong to start any fire on the Sabbath, such as a fire in a fireplace or just lighting a match. On the basis of this verse, some even argued that it's not even permissible in the Sabbath to light a stove, turn on a stove, or use any electrical device without a heating element, like a hairdryer. Yet the context here is important. Biblical principle. There certainly may be a need to limit personal fire usage, as a major fire maintenance can certainly become a violation of the Sabbath if a great deal of obvious work is involved. Right? However, this passage occurring at the beginning of Moses' relaying of the instructions for building the tabernacle is most likely referring to tabernacle construction. God, it appears, was telling them to not kindle industrial fires on the Sabbath, to melt silver or gold or forge other metals for the construction of the temple. Tabernacle. No doubt some minor smelting was done in individual homes, which was also forbidden by this prescription. Instead, all industry was to cease, even the special work of building the tabernacle, so people could give full attention to resting and worshiping God on the Sabbath as he commanded. We have also something to think about Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Because we have what about things happen? And there are personal emergencies and things that, you know, we did not expect to happen that we have to deal with. What about, we'll call it the banner of emergency. Well, let's take a look at Luke 14 and look at the principle here. Luke 14 and verse 1, came to pass as he went to the house of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him. Behold, there was a certain man before him, which had the dropsy, King James here. Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they didn't say anything, right? They held their peace. And, well, he took him, he healed him, and he let him go. But notice what he says after that in verse 5. He said, which of you have a donkey or an ox fall to a pit and will not straightway pull it out on the Sabbath day? Like, wouldn't you do that? And it says they could not answer him again because of these things. So Jesus was indicating, listen, that's your animal. That's something we're told to respect and you know, love the animals of the world. He's like, hey, you'll do that because that's, you know, the old pulling an ox out of a ditch, right? It's an emergency, something you didn't plan to, but you're not going to have that animal suffer. So you're going to, hey, and getting an ox out of a ditch is going to take a lot of work, right? But you're going to save that animal's life, right? Or the goat or whatever you have. So the principle is certainly you have to take care of emergencies on the Sabbath. And, you know, there I probably mentioned this ridiculous Pharisaical in Orthodox Judaism that they actually say if your house is on fire, you get out of the house and don't try to put out the fire because that's work. And it's just, you know, it's the thinking that it doesn't, you know, that's an emergency. That's something that would be positive to do. Yeah, it's going to take work to put out the fire, but that's something that would be an exception to do. Certainly, we all have to be honest with ourselves as far as, well, I think that's an emergency. I really need to do that. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves, not making, you know, a mountain out of a molehill. And, you know, being honest with ourselves, being honest with ourselves, what something would be reasonable to do or not. Now, a very important thing to keep in mind is not judging others on how they observe the Sabbath. Not judging others. You know, we're all at different points in our Christian life. Newer people, you know, been around for a while. And we're all different, right? We all might come to different conclusions about things, right? Certainly we keep all the principles in mind, but, you know, there was a controversy. I don't know if it was in United Church of God, but in my former association, there was a real controversy whether to eat out or not on the Sabbath day. That was a big It was a big question, and there were people adamant that felt no, because you are making someone work, right? They're serving you on the Sabbath day. And others, you know, came up with a different conclusion on that. And guess what? There are people that, you know, it was like two different conclusions. And it was rightly said, you know, you can't, you know, judge other, denounce the other group, you know, however you feel. Just, you know, you have to be honest with yourselves of what you think is right or wrong, but not to, you know, pass judgment on someone who's made a decision to do something that you felt would be okay. It happens, right? It does happen. But we shouldn't make, you know, judgment and condemn one another. I know that we have to figure out best how to keep the holy day and the things we do or not do. I remember I made a big, huge mistake when I first started keeping the Sabbath. I was in college. I was commuting to college, and I was still living at home. And in my mind, when I came home from church, I'm not talking to my parents. I'm staying away from them. They're not in the church. They don't believe what I believe. I'm going to go up to my room and avoid them. And that was my judgment at the time. And thankfully, maybe I read the fifth commandment after keeping the Sabbath day holy, which is honor your father and mother. You know that, and I'm like, duh, like I shouldn't be doing that. Like that is wrong. I shouldn't feel that way. In fact, it's a good time to talk to them and spend time with them. And I really thankfully realized my mistake, that was something that I was being like ridiculously strict with to a fault. And again, there could be disagreements on over what is acceptable or not. I would say let's always side, you know, you want to be side on the side of caution. You know, always be on the side of caution. If you're unsure, right? In fact, there's a scripture, right? If it's not of conscience sake, then it's a sin. So if you're thinking, I think this is wrong, but I'm still going to do it anyhow, because it's like, well, that you shouldn't do it, you know? You shouldn't do it. So again, we have to be careful. And again, not doing anything that would offend a brother or sister in Christ. So let's review just some of the principles we've gone over. The Sabbath is to be observed to commemorate God as creator. It's a time to free ourselves from the burdens of everyday work, whatever our work is. It's a time to refrain from our own desires and activities in order to honor God. We are to honor the command to assemble with others of like faith on the Sabbath, to respect the worship service and one another in fellowship. Jesus, as we know, repeatedly healed people on the Sabbath and taught that the Sabbath was a time to celebrate God's work in the lives of human beings. He never taught that the Sabbath was not to be observed. But the Sabbath is a gift from God. It's designed to uplift us. It's not ever to burden us. It's a time to teach us about physical rest, emotional rest, and spiritual rest with Him. Total communion with God and Jesus Christ. So let's fulfill the fourth commandment by employing the biblical principles of Sabbath keeping.